Yes, welcome to the Poetry Show for January the 17th, 2024. Our theme today is winter birds, and let me introduce our host, our main host here, and good friend and poet, Janet Harrison. Janet, welcome.
Hello, John. I have to do something quick. I have to disable an alarm. We're going to get an alarm in 5 minutes, so give me a sec.
Okay, do that. In the meantime, I'll tell you how you can always find our player at player.enlightenradio.org, and you can find our blog at www.enlightenradio.org, and our past podcasts that we have can be found also at podcasts.enlightenradio.org. So, and we're broadcasting on the Poetry Show pretty close to 10 a.m. on Wednesdays, unless there's some, you know, disruption in the pores, which does happen occasionally. Anyway, I'm looking forward to Janet's return here so we can move on with winter birds.
I built this show around a classic poem, The Darkling Thrush by Thomas Hardy. And you may say, Thomas Hardy wrote a poem, because you're familiar with him writing novels, but he actually was quite a fine poet as well. I don't know much of his poetry, but this is probably his most famous poem, The Darkling Thrush. I leant upon a coppice gate when frost was spectre gray and winter's dregs made desolate a weakening eye of day. The tangled brine streams scored the sky like strings of broken lyres, and all mankind that haunted nigh had sought their household fires. The land's sharp features seemed to be the century's corpse outleant. He crept the clouded canopy and wind his death lament. The ancient pulse of germ and birth was drunken, hard and dry, and every spirit upon earth seemed feverless as I. At once a voice arose among the bleak twigs overhead, in full-farted evening song of joy unlimited. An aged thrush, frail, naught, and small, its blast-beruffled plume had chosen thus to fling his soul upon the growing gloom. So little cause for carolings of such ecstatic sound was written on terrestrial things afar or nigh around. And then I could think there trembled, though, his happy goodnight air, some blessed hope whereof he knew, and I was unaware.
Wow. That's a powerful poem.
Yes, the language is a little archaic, but the sounds are beautiful in this poem.
Yeah, as feverless as I. Wow. There's a winter metaphor.
I think it might have been fervorless, but I read it.
Oh, wrong. Fervorless? Oh, I thought it was feverless. Okay, maybe. Yeah. Okay. Well, either way, it works either way. Yeah, right. Fervorless. Feverless. Probably
every
better.
Every spirit on the earth seemed fervorless as I.
Yeah, all right. Even better.
At once a voice arose among the bleak twigs overhead in full-hearted evening song of joy unlimited. I love that quatrain right there.
Joy unlimited.
I mean, unlimited.
Yeah. Well, unlimited joy is a. Isn't that sort of a 19th century idea,
or is it? I think it's a romanticism. It's from romanticism.
Okay. you would think that in the early 21st century, we would be getting into a little more scientific, maybe not. Doesn't look that way. All right. So what's the next on the winter bird agenda, my dear?
Okay, let me pull it up. I think we are going to go to let me get to where I need to go.
Looking for a sunset bird in winter, or what was the other one?
I wanted to do Winter Birds by Catherine Mansfield.
Oh,
next,
yes, that was very nice. Very nice. Yes.
Now, Catherine Mansfield was a poet. She was from New Zealand, and she died very young. She died in her 30s, but she was a friend of D.H. Lawrence and all of the Bloomsbury poets.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Let me bring it up. And then if you want to read the Frost Poem next, we're going to the Frost
Okay.
Poem next.
All right. That'll be good. I like Robert Frost.
Okay, let me, here it is.
Winter Bird, yes.
This is a short little poem, but it's delightful. Winter Bird by Catherine.
Recording in progress.
Oh, shut up. That's the little AI agent. Ignore that, okay?
Okay. Winter Bird by Catherine Mansfield. My bird, my darling, calling through the cold of afternoon. Those round, bright notes, each one so perfect, shaken from the other and yet hanging together in flashing clusters. The small, soft flowers and the ripe fruit are all gathered. It is the season now of nuts and berries and round, bright, flashing drops in frozen grass.
Yeah, that I like the close. Right. I mean, in other words, there's something about the ice drops.
Yes, in the grass.
Yes, that's not quite a. I guess it's a food. I wonder. I have never considered whether birds eat ice. Some obviously do. I had never pictured birds eating ice.
I like the other thing in the poem too. My bird, my darling, calling through the cold of afternoon. It's so intimate, you know, addressing the bird.
Yeah, my bird, my darling. Right. Well, it's very, and you say this was from, the 1890s or 1910s or something, in that area?
1910s around there, I guess.
Yeah,
She was a friend of D.H. Lawrence and that group.
The name's familiar, but I don't remember, I think I'm confusing her.
She was only 34 when she died.
Did someone kill her, or did she just have a bad disease?
Tuberculosis.
Wow. You know, it's only been a short time.
See, I can pull
time.
Her date. Give me a sec. Ooh.
I think each one so
no.
perfect,
my
shaking
my device
from the
is
other,
being stubborn.
Hanging together in flashing clusters. Wow. Well, maybe we should move on to Sir Robert Frost, you know, a knighted poet in the United States. If we had knights, he might be one. I wonder if they do poetic knights in some monarchical systems. I mean, we've heard tales in the ancient days of the fool. Right, that a king would like to have around, at least in the middle of the play, one of Shakespeare's plays. And maybe now we have a poet laureate, but I wonder if those are the same thing. Anyway, looking for a sunset bird in winter, Robert Frost. Now, as usual, he takes rather complex sentences and puts them in a straight out A, B, B rhyme scheme. And they also it also has a certain beat, if you can get into it. All right, looking for a sunset bird in winter. The West was getting out of cold. The breath of air had died of cold. When shooing home across the white, I thought I saw a bird alight. In summer, when I passed the place, I had to stop and lift my face. A bird with an angelic gift was singing in it sweet and swift, but no bird was singing in it now. A single leaf was on a bough. And that was all there was to see in going twice around the tree. From my advantage on a hill, I judged that such a crystal chill was only adding frost to snow, as gilt to gold that wouldn't show. A brush had left a crooked stroke of what was either cloud or smoke, from north to south across the blue, a piercing little star was through. Wow. The bird that took a light and the star that was revealed. Pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty cool. I like the way it goes. It needs to be read slowly, I think. And it works best with Frost, I think, if you let the rhyme be as prominent as it kind of actually is. You know, you could, you know, like glide this sentence together or the two lines together and sort of weaken the sing-song aspect. But somehow I think she doesn't, I think he doesn't want you to do that. just because of the complexity of the sentences and phrases. I don't know. What do you think?
I think Frost reads beautifully regardless of how you read him. And I think okay. The rhymes are there. In this poem, most of the rhymes are exact. There's not a lot of slant rhyme. But it doesn't hit you over the head. It doesn't sound sing-song. It sounds almost conversational. The West was getting out of gold. The breath of air had died of cold. That's a beautiful opening couplet.
It is. It really is. But I think the one in the second verse is that, you know, from my advantage on a hill, I judged that such a crystal chill was only adding frost to snow as gilt to gold that wouldn't show.
That's a beautiful quatrain.
That's really cool, you know. So the whole thing's good. Really great. You know, and I don't remember that poem. I used to read Robert Frost a lot more often. I don't remember that poem. Were you just looking up about songs of birds and that came up? I mean, about poems.
Yes, so I was looking for winter bird poems. And
okay.
And I found one.
Well, that's a very nice one. What comes next, Janet?
Mary Oliver.
Well, she's
we're
reliable.
Doing some real... Yeah. And this one... I chose, and I have a special little affection for it because I grew up in the city, and the only birds that we saw in our backyard were either starlings or sparrows, and they were considered nuisance birds by many people.
Yes.
But this is a really beautiful poem. You think of Mary Oliver usually out in the country, in the woods or something, but here she's in the city. And the birds she's looking at are starlings, and it could have been my childhood. Starlings in Winter by Mary Oliver. Chunky and noisy, but with stars in their black feathers, they spring from the telephone wire, and instantly they are acrobats in the freezing wind. And now, in the theater of air, they swing over buildings, dipping and rising. They float like one stippled star that opens, becomes for a moment fragmented, then closes again. And you watch, and you try, But you simply can't imagine how they do it, with no articulated instruction, no pause, only the silent confirmation that they are this notable thing, this wheel of many parts that can rise and spin over and over again, full of gorgeous life. Ah, world, what lessons you prepare for us, even in the leafless winter, even in the ashy city. I am thinking now of grief and of getting past it. I feel my boots trying to leave the ground. I feel my heart pumping hard. I want to think again of dangerous and noble things. I want to be light and frolicsome. I want to be improbable, beautiful, and afraid of nothing, as though I had wings.
Yeah, it's perfect.
I love that. It's one of my favorites of Mary Oliver.
I often feel that way after I read a Mary Oliver poem. They're not all quite as perfect as, but she has so many that are just simply perfect, and that's the one. I think that's just beautifully done.
And she's talking about how the starlings will change direction. They'll all change direction at the same time, but there's no really way of knowing how they communicate which way they're going.
Yeah, we don't fully understand that at all yet. That's an understatement. How birds migrate and then these, how they form various patterns. And although there is a flocking algorithm that's not very complicated. That could be somehow learned. Like bees form various patterns when they circle around a hive, right? Or when they're hunting. And so these patterns of, they're not unique. But it's true. Some birds' flying patterns are unique. They form shapes that other birds don't form. And so it's very, very interesting. There must be some mechanism, either that or we have to rely upon a divine spiritual influence, which I'm reluctant to do. Anyway, a perfect poem from Mary Oliver. And by the way, if you're at a ceremony of some kind, this has happened to my family at least twice. One case, a funeral, another case, a wedding. Just on the spot, people decided they wanted to read a poem, and they both, on two occasions, it was a Mary Oliver poem. And, was not out of place at all, and served to do, the kind of job that a first-class poem you would hope would do. Spread a little bit of spiritual peace, and her poems do that.
I love the ending of this poem, I want to be light. I want to think again of dangerous and noble things. I want to be light and frolicsome. I want to be improbable, beautiful, and afraid of nothing, as though I had wings. I love that quote. I feel that way sometimes.
Really? Well, she certainly had wings, at least when she composed these poems. Wow. I don't know, Janet, is it time for some humor? Or are we having a...
Yes, it's time for Shel Silverstein, and I'll turn it over to you since you like this poem so much.
I do. I do like... let me get the right one up here. I had it. Where is this? There's that. Weird Bird, as opposed to Winter Bird. Shel Silverstein, I got some kind of image in my way here. There it is. All right. Called, instead of Winter Bird, we have Weird Bird. Birds are flying south for the winter. Here's the weird bird headed north. Wings are flapping, beak a chattering, cold head bobbing back and forth. He says, it's not that I like ice or freezing winds and snowy ground. It's just sometimes it's kind of nice to be the only bird in town. I love that. I love that. Anyway, weird bird that hung around all winter. Well, I think you picked a wonderful list, Janet. You know, I encourage people to look up their bird poem. Maybe compose a winter bird poem. I went outside after I read this last night, and this morning I went out at a light when I had to take Lukey, my dog, out. And I was looking for a bird, and I did not see one this morning. It's really cold, about 15 degrees here. So maybe there's winter days, and then there's winter days. Although these birds that fly at great heights in winter, I mean, the temperatures up there are minus something. Am I right, Janet?
I would think so.
Yeah. So I don't know. I guess birds are warm-blooded, so they can maintain their body temperatures, I guess. So, anyway,
their feathers out and trap air in the pockets of their feathers. You see them all fluffed up in the winter. They're trying to stay warm.
Right, right. I know. Well, we're coming close to the State of the Union. I'm trying to think of themes for next week. And we're coming close to, we're still a ways from Valentine's Day. And I'm just wondering whether we could do some inaugural poems when we get to, next week or something like that. What would you think about that? Would that make any sense?
I'll think about it. I don't know. Nothing's coming to mind right off the top of my head. But
well, there's I'll been. See what I know I was. Because Dr. King's birthday was coming, I was looking at African American poets that had readings allowed to put on the program for that day. And I did find Amanda Gorman and Elizabeth Alexander and actually Robert Frost tapes. From many years ago. They're good poems. They are. I mean,
yes.
They're different. And I think the second Obama inaugural had a guy who was a poet. I can't remember. I think we covered him at one point on the program way back. But anyway, just a thought. Anyway. Anyway, so are we set for today?
Yes, I think we're set for today.
All right, pal.
I think end on the Stell Silverstein, end on a light note.
Right. Those are beautiful poems. And I'm going to keep looking today for a winter bird. All right, folks. Thank you for joining in on the Poetry Show. And, of course, the tape will be up soon. And go to podcast.enlightenradio.org. Take care of each other. It's late. But everything comes next.